We continued on with this theme. What's the theme of Colossians? Anybody? Brother Brent?
Christian growth.
Brother Jim, thank you. Christian growth. Minor glitch at the changeover. Okay. Christian growth. So, more of that tonight, that God wants us to keep growing for Him, and specifically when we are faced with false prophets. So, Colossians 2, and we're going to look at verse 8 first, and then we'll pick up where we left off last week, because verse 8 ties in well with the end of the chapter, as you'll see. So notice Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And then down in verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So tonight we talk about commandments and doctrines of men, as we saw there in verse 22, commandments and doctrines of men. That'll be our title. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of studying your word midweek. Use it in our hearts to grow us and teach us. Thank you for the privilege. And Lord, I pray that you would guide everything that happens now in our service and it would honor you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here where he's telling us to not let men spoil us. Amen? Verse 8. With what? Philosophy, vain deceit, traditions, rudiments of the world. 2,000 years later, we still have religious groups doing these exact things. Telling people that they have to do this and not do this. Telling people they can't eat certain meats. The list just goes on and on, doesn't it? And this word philosophy, we talked recently in our Sunday school class, we did a series on worldly philosophies, remember? And looked at some of the different ones that come up and that are in the world today. I'll just throw some out there that we talked about. If it works, it can't be wrong. A lot of churches use that. It's called pragmatism. Basically, if you use gimmicks and your church grows, it's okay. They don't have to be biblical because it works. Everyone else is doing it. If you can't beat them, join them. That's the doctrine of Balaam, remember? They couldn't beat them, so they joined them so that God had to punish them. The power of positive thinking. There is no absolute truth. These are philosophies that are all around us, and they all come from the devil. God says, beware of those things, right? Don't let men spoil you with philosophy. There's only one philosophy that God accepts, and that's His. Amen? And it's laid out for us in the Scriptures. It's our final authority. And anything else that doesn't agree with it is not a God-given philosophy. It is a Satan-given philosophy. Then he expounds upon that, verse 8, tradition and rudiments of the world. And in verse 16, he expounds on it some more. Meat, drink, holy day, new moon, Sabbath days. It amazes me that there are still groups that think that, you know, if you go to church on Sunday, you're taking the mark of the beast. He says right here we're not allowed to judge each other based on Sabbath days. But people continue to do it. It's all about tradition. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus addressed tradition here with the Pharisees and scribes. Let's see what he had to say about tradition. By the time Jesus came to the earth, there was a lot of tradition. And I'm talking tradition that had been attributed to God. I'm not talking false doctrines. I'm talking or false prophets or satanic stuff. I'm talking the scribes and Pharisees who claimed to be followers of the God of the Bible had come up with so many traditions, and they're still alive today. I mean, when you go to Israel, do they wear the little black hat? Can anybody find that in the Bible? It's not there, is it? Or the curly hair hanging down in the front, the fringes? Is that in the Bible? That's tradition. Look what Jesus said, Mark 7:13. Matthew 7:13 is a good verse about salvation, but that's not the verse I wanted. It's Mark 7:13. He says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. He's rebuking the religious leaders of the day and says that they're actually undoing the word of God with their tradition. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Of none effect. But he says, meat, drink, Sabbath days, holy days, new moon. Look at Romans 14. Paul here using meat as an example. Romans chapter 14, verse 3. It says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. In other words, we can't judge based on whether or not people choose to eat pork or not pork or eat meat that was bought in a certain place or not bought in a certain place. We're talking Bible times. He says you can't do it. It's wrong. And then in 1 Timothy 4, here it says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, talking about the end times which we find ourselves in. And one of the things that he's mentioned here in 1 Timothy 4:3, forbidding to marry. Does anybody know of a group that doesn't allow their priests to marry with a billion people following it? Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. There it is. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. I'm sorry, but vegan is not in the Bible. Amen. He tells us right here, it's okay to eat meat. Just thank God for it, and you can eat whatever you want. Rise, Peter, kill and eat, I say. And then Hebrews 13:9, we see it again. So this is all through the New Testament. People trying to control Christians with tradition, with do's and don'ts. Hebrews 13:9, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Meat is irrelevant, he says. Eating it or not eating it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. But he's saying, don't let people spoil you with these things. Don't let people lead you astray. Notice verse 18, let no man beguile you. So in verse 8, he uses the word spoil. And in verse 18, he uses the word beguile or to trick you. Notice it talks about worshiping of angels. Are we given permission in Scripture to worship angels? No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we have a couple of situations where someone has tried to worship an angel, and in every instance, the angels say, see thou do it not. Worship God. We're only allowed to worship God. That happened in the Old Testament, remember? And it happens when John went to heaven and got a glimpse of heaven and he tried to fall down and the angel said, see thou do it not. You're not allowed to worship me. I'm just an angel. I was created by Almighty God. You can only worship God. So he says in verse 19, and not holding the head, which from all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Remember, well, let's look at it over in chapter 1, verse 10, where God tells us what needs to be increasing. Anybody remember what needs to be increasing according to the book of Colossians without looking?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, which only comes from this. Amen. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he's given us here the preventative medicine for not being beguiled or spoiled by all these traditions and false teachings. It's increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. And of course, that would be Ephesians 4:14. I'll turn there quickly. Ephesians 4:14, what does it tell us? That we henceforth be no more children. We're talking about in our understanding of Scripture. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Of course, in Hebrews 5:13, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. So God wants us to grow up and under our understanding of the word of God and applying it to our lives. He wants us to grow so that when we are faced with all of these beguiling false teachings, we can handle it. We don't get led astray. Of course, verse 20, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, the do's and don'ts. The do's and don'ts are already laid out for us by Jesus in his 150 commandments. But churches try to add their own list of do's and don'ts, don't they? I think 150 is enough. Let's just stick with the ones God gave us. And not try to add some that man wants to add. And yet it happens all the time, even in Bible-believing churches, where they try to add to God's 150 commandments, which he refers to, verse 22, as what? The commandments and doctrines of men. So the commandments that don't come from God, but the commandments that have been added by man. He's warning us against those things. Let's look at Matthew 15:9. Again, Jesus rebuking the religious leaders, which he did a lot while he was on earth. And look what he says, Matthew 15:9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching them as if they are doctrine. Now, if a Christian has a personal standard that they've come up with as derived from scriptural principles, that's between them and God, and that's fine. That's not what this is talking about. But this is talking about when we turn it into a command. That is wrong. God says we shouldn't do it. And Jesus himself here is saying that the worship becomes vain because the religious leaders were teaching the stuff that they had added as doctrine. And it's not doctrine. Unless it came from God, it's not doctrine. And doctrine is only found in the Scriptures. So, again, beware, he says. Don't let people beguile or trick you. Don't let people lead you astray with philosophies, with do's and don'ts, with the commandments and doctrines of man. And if you look at 1 Timothy 4:1, God told us this would happen, especially in the last days. 1 Timothy 4:1. Look what he says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now there's that word doctrine again. But this isn't God's doctrine, is it? This is doctrine coming from devils. From Satan's helpers. And then over in 2 Timothy 4, if you turn over there, verse 4. Look what he says. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, if that isn't true today. Remember that study we did last year on the distinctives? All these fables that are out there that people are following as if they are quote unquote doctrine. God said it would happen. And then in Titus, so in all three pastoral epistles, look at Titus 1:14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and what? Titus 1:14, commandments of men that turn from the truth. So he's saying that not only do we need to beware of them because they're wrong, but they can actually turn us away from God's word, which is the only source of truth. So this is quite the warning, isn't it? And if we're going to grow like God wants us to, which is Colossians is all about, we have to keep our eye out for the commandments and doctrines of men. Because they're going to try to sneak in and try to control us, try to lead us astray. And then verse 23 says, which things in Colossians 2 have indeed a show of wisdom. In other words, it looks like wisdom. It looks like the right thing. It sounds good. It just isn't. And Jesus, if you go to Matthew 23:23, this is one of his longest rebukes of the religious leaders. And let's look what he rebuked them for here, Matthew 23:23. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. So he's saying you're being very nitpicky about your tithe, which he's not saying that's wrong. But he's saying, and yet you're neglecting the important stuff like judgment, mercy, and faith. You blind guys which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. In other words, you make sure that you look good and that you look the part. But within, you're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. And how many times do we tell baby Christians this? You know, they're like, well, what do I need to change? What do I need to solve? Listen, if you just get close to God, the Holy Spirit will lead you. I don't need to give you a list of cleaning stuff. Just get right with God. The Holy Spirit will lead you just fine. And then he's 27, they're like whited sepulchres. They appear beautiful outward, but within full of dead men's bones. If only they would have gotten that they were dead spiritually. Even so, outwardly, verse 28, you appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So they had this show, right? It was all about show with the Pharisees. Looking the part. Looking, as it says here, as if they were righteous when they were actually unrighteous. Looking as if they were, everything was good, beautiful outward, but within they were dead. And they are the very ones who had come up with hundreds of additional commandments of men that had been written to the margins of the Old Testament. I forget how many hundreds it was, but so many do's and don'ts that they had come up with over the centuries that had become law, that had become doctrine. And they were on the same level to the Jewish people who were trying to find God and who were trying to obey God. For them, all of these things that the Pharisees had come up with were on the same level as what was written in the Word of God, in the law. How sad. And all it was the commandments and doctrines of men. So we need to be on the lookout because it hasn't changed. We are in those latter times that the Spirit speaketh expressly about. And there are doctrines of devils out there. that are just going to keep coming our way. So we got to keep growing in the Word, so we're prepared for it. And when we have someone try to tell us that something's a commandment or a doctrine when it's not in the Scriptures, we need to say, it's not in the Bible. Amen? Show me that in the Bible and I'll believe you. Can't believe how many times I've had to say that over the decades. Just show it to me in the Scriptures and I'll believe you. It ain't there. Because it's not from God. Amen? So we got to watch out for the commandments and doctrines of men. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thanks for speaking to our hearts. May we just always be in your word and be growing in it, Lord, so that we're very prepared when something comes our way and doesn't sound right, probably because it isn't right. It's come from man and not from you. And I pray that you'd help us in this. Help us as a church to be true.